Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:02 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 25th. I'm recording a little earlier than normal. I'm at a conference right now and in Carlsbad, and I'll be driving back to Los Angeles this afternoon. So I'm taking the opportunity to just record a little earlier than normal. What I find particularly interesting is the size of the upper dynamic that we had on the 10-year yield 2 weeks ago. And we had some consolidation now underway. But it looks, just on the by simply looking at the chart, this is by far the largest upward dynamic we've seen since at least 2016. And even then, that upward dynamic was well after the low. But it's perhaps only really similar to the kind of, at least the kind of move we had back in 2015. What it almost certainly suggests is that we have a peak of at least medium-term significance in bond prices. One thing that I found particularly interesting from reading research, listening to people, listening to commentators, listening to people that are coming out with what their asset allocation strategy is likely or is for the next 12 months. The one unifying theme across all of them is that there is this assumption that US yields are going to continue lower. I'm rather interested in that particular assumption and the complacency that it manifests around it, considering the size of the upper dynamic that we've got. The price action does not justify this complacency in the bond market. It looks quite likely that yields are going up, not down. And that's, from what I can see from everyone I've been speaking to, is that that's a rather contrarian opinion right now, and yet the chart action is highly supportive of it. So, obviously, there is a lot of commentary about the quantity of bonds that have got negative yields and the very real potential that we are moving towards a combined monetary and fiscal stimulus in an increasingly large number of countries, and that the total of bonds with negative yields has bounced from the low that we had in September. And yet it is primarily a European and Japanese phenomenon. When we talk about the fact that there is about 40% of all the bonds in the world have got a negative yield, we also have to remember that all those bonds are in Europe and Japan. Well, that speaks to the quantity of debt that is outstanding in those jurisdictions, more than the outlook for all bonds to go negative. Now, when we then think about the stock market, the incredible outperformance of bonds has sapped demand for stocks. If we are starting to now see that yields are pushing back up and money is coming out of the treasury market, then there is a logical potential that it could move back into the stock market, and the Nasdaq is in positive territory in here today. It continues to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows. It is still above its trend mean. This continues to look like a bullish consolidation. When we then think about the outlook for the S&P 500, it also looks like a bullish consolidation. We've seen that this range has been underway for the last 6 months. The very large upside key reversal that we had in June, if my memory serves me correctly, is the clear touchstone in terms of bouncing from the region of the trend mean. Each of the big lows that we've had over the course of the last decade have been in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So we have near-term and long-term areas of support having been tested over the course of the last 12 months, and they've held. Well, that does suggest that there is potential here for additional upside. If we continue to see bond yields pushing higher, then that should be supportive of the stock market, that we could have a bubble before we have a recession. And I think that has to be still very clear in terms of investor priorities, that there is the real potential that we are going to get a bubble forming in the stock market. But what I do find interesting here is the performance of IPOs and the performance of some of the companies that are really very dependent on access to cheap liquidity. So, for example, the IPO ETF broke downwards yesterday. It was somewhat steadier in here today, but it has not rebounded in a dynamic manner. When, for example, we look at a company like Beyond Meat, and I regarded this with a rather favorable disposition immediately after the IPO, and it did really very well indeed for the first 9 months of its existence. It's now trending downwards. There is significant compression of the valuation going on, and its success has encouraged additional competition. Shopify has been one of the best performing new IPOs over the course of the last few years, and it really did take off at the beginning of this year, going from just over $100 to $400. Now it has come all the way back to test the region of the trend mean. We're starting to see just some evidence of support coming back through, but this has been a very large downward reaction. It suggests that the incredible pace of advance over the course of the first 8 months of this year is probably over, and that there is a lengthy period of convalescence is going to be required, even in a bull case scenario. Therefore, what is starting to push on to new high ground? Well, the performance of utilities has obviously been a significant factor, but that was in negative territory in here today. They are obviously very sensitive to interest rates. What is potentially going to do better in this kind of environment are cyclicals. And the semiconductors index was pushing up to test the region of the upper side of this range that's persisted since April. It continues to look like a bullish consolidation, and it's still finding support above the are mostly above the range that persisted through 2018. That is, I think, highly supportive of the potential that we're going to see additional upside here. Now, when we then think about the gold market, gold was down in here today by about $26, and it has countermanded the advance over the last 3 days and paused around the $1,500 area. One thing we can see clearly is that there is still a rather wide overextension relative to the trend mean, and gold is historically volatile. When we have yields starting to push back up and a somewhat firmer dollar, then that is taking a toll on the gold price in here today. But this is still a bull market breakout. The only question is how deep is the consolidation likely to be? So far, this range has been relatively similar sized to the one that we saw in June through to the beginning of August. It is not beyond the bounds of possibility that we could see some additional consolidation. Price could even come back to $1,400 and still be in a bull market environment. In fact, that's exactly what it did when it initially broke out in 2001. So that would, I think, offer a very attractive entry point in terms of gold, silver prices. And of course, there's no guarantee that it's going to get back to those levels, because I'm sure I'm not the only person salivating at the potential for some additional weakness to pick up a position once more. Silver was down 63 cents in here today. That has countermanded the pop on the upside we had 2 days ago. And that also suggests that we are in for some additional consolidation with the silver price. And as long as silver is holding the $14 area, excuse me, the $16 area, I can see that my the numbers are partially obscured by the side of the screen. The $16 area represents the upper side of the base and the region of the trend mean. I do think that there is ample scope for gold and silver to continue to outperform over the medium term, but we are getting some ebb and flow in the short term. What we definitely know is that we are moving towards periods of synchronized monetary and fiscal stimulus. And that could potentially be global in nature. That is something that is going to be discounted by both the precious metal markets, the bond markets, and the equity markets. And we're starting to see where those relative assets are performing compared to one another. I do think that the breakout that we've seen in precious metals is a harbinger of the reluctance of investors to continue to accept the competitive devaluation of currencies. But the push up in yields is something that is likely to be beneficial to the US dollar, and the dollar index was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. Then, when we think about why that might be the case, well, the Hang Seng today was down in a pretty dynamic manner. And this it continues to unwind the short-term overbought condition following that rebound from above the or just around the region of the 25,000 point level. When we then think about the Chinese renminbi, they have no interest in a strong currency. China's economy is slowing down. That's one of the primary reasons why we have not had a more convincing recovery in commodity prices. The continuous commodity index is now back around the 400 level. It is going to have to sustain a move back above the trend mean to confirm we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The oil price was down yesterday in the region of about $2. It was down 60 cents in here today. It's back below its trend mean. There is still an upward bias over the course of the last 6 weeks, but a clear upward dynamic now is going to be required to stem the decline overall. And perhaps an additional uptick in geopolitical tensions would really be required to see the oil price pop on the upside from here. Now, when we think about where are we in terms of the cycle, the performance of highly defensive sectors has certainly been a cause célèbre recently. The fact that it is the dividend aristocrats have been doing best over the course of the last while and are already at new all-time highs over the course of the last few weeks. Well, they're leveraged to the growth of the global consumer, and they are very, I guess they could be described as efficient users of capital, but they're also highly defensive. So we are starting to see that defensive sectors are doing better, and that's generally a late-stage phenomenon when we think about the stock market cycle. If we think about what are the risks, well, the a buyer's strike in terms of the bond markets is certainly potentially a problem. The fact that we have got a slowdown in China, which they are going to have to step up meaningfully in terms of their assistance both in a monetary and a fiscal status, is still to be determined, but it's completely necessary if they're going to support their economy. One thing we certainly know is that we are seeing a great deal of stimulus hitting the market that will start to help to improve economic growth probably 6 months forward from now. That suggests that the economy should be doing better globally by the first quarter of 2020. In the meantime, the stock market remains really quite steady, and there is the potential that we're going to see an additional leg on the upside. This belief that yields have to go below zero in the USA, I think, is premature. That there is the potential that it could get there during the next recession, but we're just nowhere near that yet. There is more likely that we're going to get an additional pop on the upside in terms of yields, an additional pop on the upside in terms of stock prices, perhaps some consolidation in the precious metals, and then we'll see what happens after that. I think that is most likely to be the scenario that we're presented with. We are in the second half of the third year of the US presidential cycle. It is exactly the time when the Fed is expected to start to ease policy, and they started doing that already, and that generally contributes to the fourth year of the presidential cycle being the best in terms of performance. Of course, there are worries about an impeachment process and the question about who will be the Democratic candidate. I think it is likely that the Democratic candidate will be Elizabeth Warren, or that some of her policies will be integrated into whoever wins the nomination. And that could be a cause for concern among investors. But that is still a decision that is going to be well out there in future, and in between now and then, we're likely to see a rotation going on where defensive sectors will do better, cyclicals should start to do better, but that what we are also seeing is that the kinds of companies that are highly dependent on access to liquidity are selling off, and that is a meaningful development. I continue to think that the move that we've seen in Amazon, where it pulled back yesterday quite violently, retraced part of that decline in here today. It absolutely needs to pop on the upside if the region of the trend mean is going to hold. It has been the company that benefited most from access to liquidity, which funded a massive move in terms of gaining a market dominating position. It's also one of the biggest shares in the world. So, how Amazon performs is likely to have a material effect on the psychology of investors globally. And I think it is one of the shares that is particularly worth monitoring. The pace of technological innovation is accelerating at a rather incredible pace. Posting an article in here today talking about the ability of new algorithms to predict chaotic systems, and it is only a matter of time before these kinds of algorithms are deployed in the stock market. Millennium Technologies has been the leader in terms of algorithmic trading for much of the last 30 years. They already have got a trading strategy for their 35 billion under management that very rarely loses money. And it is quite likely that these kinds of predictive algorithms are going to affect all areas of scientific and financial investigation over the course of the next 5 to 10 years. Then we have the additional fact that quantum supremacy has been reached in here this week. And that's also a phenomenal change in terms of the global market. It is going to rapidly enhance the pace of scientific inquisition. Well, these kinds of accelerating patterns of enabling technologies are things that are going to truly change the outlook for the technology sector. It is where productivity growth comes from, and that is what secular bull markets are driven by. It is also something that should help in terms of a deflationary boom. So there is the real potential that this will get priced into markets rather quickly. And it is the kind of fuel and story narrative that can truly help to drive a bubble in stocks. And that does suggest that the next significant move on the stock market will be higher, but that it will be a rotation out of those that are highly dependent on leverage and perhaps more influenced by the growth of this new investment sector. Google has been investing heavily in the new technology frontier, from autonomous driving to quantum computing, and the share is approaching the upper side of this range that's persisted for much of the last 18 months. It looks increasingly likely that the next significant move will be on the upside. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I wish all the best to all of you.